Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
Oh, this young man is a sensation! Dele Alli, out of League One, into the Premier League! Oh, what a goal! It's Danny Rose on his Premier League debut!
Sheringham Fleck and Klinsmann is in!
He's got it lost under his feet and it's come from the middle!
Welcome back to another edition of the Internet's Most Dangerous Tottenham Hotspur Podcast. It's Wheeler Deal Radio, where we have to talk about Tottenham Hotspur. As Spider-Man said, it is our gift, it is our curse, but it's not really much of a gift these days. It's pretty bad. We're coming off an international break, and as Tottenham does, they went into the international break in the most disappointing fashion possible. That was a 1-1 draw to Sheffield United, which really felt like a loss. I am joined today by our longest tenured panelists. It is Ben Daniels and Brian Ashlock. Guys, a lot's happened since we last podcast, since Tottenham last played even. Ben, how are you feeling about the state of Tottenham Hotspur this Monday night?
You know, I'm still hanging on to the distant memory of the Red Star games when we actually scored goals and looked like a good soccer team. And I'm just convinced that that is going to be the team we see going forward. And it's definitely not going to be the team that lost 3-0 to Brighton or drew to Everton or Watford or Sheffield United or all the other litany of terrible results we've had.
Well, I think once Tottenham relocates to, Serbia, we'll be fine.
Yeah. It'd be worth it to win a league.
I think it's worth putting some context that we are recording this Monday night. So as of right now, Mauricio Pochettino has not been fired. But today, lots of reports all circulated around the internet from reputable, or at least I'm putting that in air quotes, journalists, namely Matt Law and The Mail, or at least The Telegraph, basically saying Pochettino doesn't have much time to turn this around. The players and the team are all expecting him to get fired. And if we lose against West Ham, it could be really bad. Brian, I'm not feeling good about anything. Are you?
No. I mean, we've won, I think, one game since we beat Palace. In the league, that is. And, that's dating back to September 14th. So, no. Why would anything good happen to us against West Ham? I mean, they're perpetually just pissing on our parade, so.
I mean, it's, we've had conversations, I guess, about is Pochettino going to last, but it all feels a lot more real all of a sudden, doesn't it?
I mean, but the thing is like, You touched on briefly that, you know, there's been things in the press that say, you know, this game is must win, and if we don't win this, then Pochettino's out of a job. And I don't know how much I believe that, just because I think if you were going to let Pochettino go over an international break was the time to do it. I don't know why you would wait until this match, or why you would attach any particular significance to this match as opposed to any of the other matches, like the Sheffield match or like whatever match was before the last international break that we lost, Brighton. So I don't put any stock in that, but if you're going to start turning things around, now would be a good time to do it.
I mean, I don't put any stock in the idea that, like, this West Ham game is somehow particularly crucial, so much as losing this would be one more game that we haven't won in, you know, since September 28th when we beat Southampton. West Ham are in terrible form right now. They're in 16th. They're a bad side, and, you know, we should beat them. And if we don't, then that's just another game where Pochettino fucked it up, or the players fucked it up, or whoever you want to blame. But, you know, it's the end of November. you know, if we have one more game where it doesn't look like we're capable of turning things around, then I understand something's got to give here. And, you know, I'd prefer it not to be firing Pochettino, but, you know, depending on the circumstances behind the scenes, that might be the only way we can fix things. And, yeah, I get it.
I mean, we're just off to such a weird start to the season. I mean, you know, like, look, we've won three games. We've beaten Aston Villa, Crystal Palace, and
Southampton.
And the only games that have – yes, that's it. That's literally
Jesus.
It.
I mean, I knew that on some level, but
– the only teams that have won fewer games than us are Watford, Southampton, and Norwich. Like, that's it. The bottom three teams in the league have won fewer games than us. Otherwise, you know, Aston Villa and West Ham have won the same number of games as us. Newcastle has won more games than we have. Brighton's won more matches than we have. Burnley, Bournemouth, you know. Wolves have won the same number, but they've also drawn seven, and they're, like, unbeaten in their last five. It's just, like, we're just continually finding new and different ways to be weird and not win games. And I guess that kind of leads us into talking about Sheffield United. But it
was dreadful. I mean, it was dreadful like the game before it was dreadful. I mean, it's terrible shit.
And honestly, you know, like, if VAR isn't, like, weird and extremely black and white on offsides calls, we lose that game.
Right. We were very fortunate to draw. They equalized right after Sonny scored, and it wasn't even, like, offsides on the goal itself. It was offsides, like, two passes before in the build-up, and, you know, I mean, by, like, less than a millimeter.
It's very similar to that one that it was Son was offside against Leicester.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking, like, you know, the fine margins like that, and it was, I mean, you know.
There's your sliding doors moment for the season. Like, what happens if VAR holds up for us against Leicester? I mean, we'd still suck, but we'd have three more points.
Maybe, or we'd have just drawn Leicester instead of losing to them.
I mean, but hey, you look at this season, and we've talked about it, but I mean, I think you look at Pochettino, his job being in jeopardy, and to me it comes down to, like, we keep waiting for something to turn it around, or at least, like, stop the bleeding. And the fact of the matter is, we keep having performances like the Sheffield match, and nothing seems to be getting better, and I'm running out of, like, rational thoughts as to how this gets turned around. Because we keep coming off international breaks. We keep coming off international breaks where you think there'd be a sense of fucking urgency. Guys occasionally get healthy or come back into the team. Like, the only rational thought for this team starts playing better is introducing Lo Celso into the midfield is going to improve our play, which is not an impossible sort of assumption, but to think that that alone is going to change the dynamic around this team, it strikes me as wishful thinking.
I mean, it does and it doesn't. You know, like,
okay, so we'll change the team to an extent that is going to stop this shit that we're seeing this year strikes me as wishful thinking.
Well, I mean, look, we, you know, I know it's Red Star, I know they're terrible, and, you know, take them with a grain of salt. But, like, we beat them in two games 9-0. The last one was the first time we saw Lo Celso really play, and he was great. He scored the opening goal. He had just a good all-around performance. And Ndombele played 90 minutes. He was great. And, you know, against Sheffield United, Lo Celso was once again very good. And Ndombele only lasted 45 minutes before he got injured and had to go off. So, you know, it's like, if we can get these guys fit and starting, we have seen what that might look like. And it is better. But, again, it's like, we are now a dozen games into the season, and Ndombele keeps getting hurt. You know, it's starting to seem a little silly to keep hoping that this is actually going to happen and we're actually going to see these guys with any kind of regularity over the course of the season, because their fitness levels and, you know, injury levels don't seem at, you know, where they need to be to give us the minutes we're going to need from them. But, you know, if we do get that, I can definitely see things turning around. I mean, they're very good players who fix the glaring weakness in this team. And it's just a matter of how much faith I think you put into those two guys and what they're going to give us, I think, is, you know, the limits, I think, of my faith, at least, in this team doing anything this year.
And I mean, I think if you want to look on the positive side of things, which I don't know why we would do that, but if you want to look on the bright side, despite how shitty we've been, we're like 3 points out of fifth place. Because other than the top four, the rest of the league is remarkably shitty. You know,
honestly,
Sheffield
it feels
United,
like a lot of world football is having a down year this year. Like,
well, yeah, and I mean, you know, you look at we're way behind. You know, Liverpool, Leicester, Chelsea, and Man City. And, you know, absent some sort of late season collapse from Chelsea and Man City, or Chelsea and Leicester, we've got like, well, I don't know, like, I can't do math, like 12 points to make up on them, which isn't impossible, but, you know, if we continue playing this way, seems unlikely. But everybody else that's in the running for the kind of fifth through seventh Europa League spots is also very bad. Like, Chelsea, Sheffield, Arsenal, City, Wolves, like, no one else is, like, really separating themselves from the pack there. And so we're benefiting from all those teams also dropping a ton, kind of making it so that our season isn't a total waste yet.
Which to me makes it really infuriating. That, like, this would have been a very good year to have an unstable Spurs team that still makes the Champions League. And yet here we are. I don't know. I want to be clear. I think Ndombele and Lo Celso are great additions to this team and will be important pieces one way or another for us moving forward. I just don't see how. I mean, this team doesn't look like they're trying very. I hate doing this. We'll get to this in a little bit more in a bit, but I hate being a body language doctor, but like, this team just doesn't look like it's trying very hard. This doesn't look like it's just a tactics issue, although I think that's probably part of it as well. It just seems like, I don't know. I don't know if it's just effort. I don't know if it's, you know, the team just fucking hates their manager or what. But it just, I don't know. I gotta say, if I wasn't a Spurs fan, as much as, even if, well, as a Spurs fan, it doesn't matter. As much as I, like, think Pochettino, or I would have said Pochettino before this year, was one of the best managers in the world, it all has a feeling of, we know how this is going to end this year for Spurs. Because even if we muddle along for a few weeks, if we have anything resembling the results we've had in recent weeks during the Christmas break, like if that becomes a thing that's happening like every couple days as opposed to once a week, holy shit, we're in for some real fucking trouble. You know, I'm trying to see a world in which Pochettino survives this, and it's looking increasingly unlikely.
Yeah, and you know, I think the reality is it's not, even if we do get those guys in, like, they don't solve all of our problems, you know. We're rolling with our backup goalkeeper, who's been pretty good, but still doesn't look like, you know, Hugo at his best.
He's been not a problem, let's put it that way. There's not a lot of things you could say about Tottenham in those regards, so.
Right, but, like, our fullbacks are still trash. Ben Davis is horrible. Serge Aurier is sometimes okay at certain things and other times just a complete dunce. You know, our good center backs, Toby and Jan, don't play for us anymore. And, you know, we rolled out Davinson Sanchez and Eric Dyer the last two games, and they're frankly awful. You know, and so we have Juan Foyth, who is maybe an option at center back, maybe an option at right back, but, you know, that's not going to fix everything. And, you know, Christian Eriksen is still checked out on his own little private fantasy land where he's imagining scoring goals for Real Madrid instead of making an effort for Spurs. And Harry Kane is, I'm sorry to say, possibly broken. So there are, you know, even best case scenario where we get these guys fit and starting, we still have a lot of other issues with this team that, you know, it's scary because there's not a lot of hope there that those are going to fix themselves. You know, Kane had by all accounts, a very good international break. He scored 5 goals against Kosovo and Montenegro, but, you know, we haven't seen anything like that in the Premier League.
Because we don't play fucking Kosovo and Montenegro. I mean, I don't think this is entirely the reason why. There's a reason the result, our best results of this year have been against fucking Red Star.
Right. And, you know, like, even in those games where he was scoring and playing well, you know, against Montenegro, he had 7 passes. You know, against Sheffield United, he had 10 passes. Like, this is not, you know, people talk about, like, well, you know, his shots and his goals have dropped off a little bit, but, like, he's doing a lot more all-around play. But, like, he's just not touching the ball that much.
But we know what Harry Kane's all-around play looks like. We've seen him do that in previous years. It ain't what we're seeing this year.
Yeah, he's just isolated and uninvolved, and, you know, he just seems to have lost that crucial step to get separation from defenders to, you know, make that little bit of difference. You know, if we feed him the ball outside the box, yeah, he's still good enough to score. But, you know, he's lost that dynamism that he's always had for us. And I don't know if he can recapture it. And I don't know if, you know, we can mitigate that with just really good play everywhere else. I don't know. But it's definitely a concern.
So, like, okay, we're talking about players right now, so let's keep talking about players. Right now, looking at this roster, as it stands right now, keeping in mind there's a lot of season left, who do you look on this Tottenham roster as not a problem right now? Like, an active, like, they are either, like, good or, you know, you can see the path to them playing well in the near future. So, like, who on this team
It's Son.
I think you could throw Lo Celso and Ndombele on that list, even if Ndombele needs the asterisk related to his health on there.
Right. Well, I found that's what we're talking about. You know, like, that's a huge asterisk for Ndombele.
Guys with realistic problems that might potentially be overcome this season. I mean, I think Gazzaniga he's fine. Like, I don't think he's as good as Hugo, but, like, not a problem. In the way that other positions are. I mean, so is it maybe those two guys, Son and Lo Celso?
I mean, you know, you would like to include Dele Alli on that list.
But he's hurt as shit or something.
Yeah, I think he's playing his way back into being fit. I don't think that there's been any sort of, you know, body language weirdness with him, or, you know, or I haven't had any questions about his effort.
That's fair. It doesn't look like he's broken or, like, sandbagging it out there.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, if you're going to talk about, as Greg was, you know, players who are injured and maybe playing themselves into fitness, I mean, you know, Lamella is probably one of the players who you're like, if you put him out there, you will get, you know, 60 to 70 minutes worth of, you know, effort and, you know.
Well, not just effort, because I think you get that out of a guy like Rose or even Aurier. But, yeah, you might get good play out of Lomela, too. You're right. He gives a shit, which I think is different than some of those guys. But I think he's also played well this year.
And as much as it pains me to say it, I think Sissoko is at least consistent in that in terms of his level within this team. I mean, it's not.
He's not more of a problem than he was. Like, he's still bad, but he's not. Anything wrong with Sissoko is not new, I think you could say.
Right. He is still the same player that we've always known he was, and his problems are not significantly worse than they were in the past.
No, but again, it's like that was the biggest hole in our team. You know, and now we're looking at that as a positive, that our worst guy is now just as bad as he ever was, and isn't that nice? And, like, I mean, no, it's not.
I think you could actually tie a lot of Tottenham's problems. So we don't know what's wrong at Spurs right now. We have some, there are some, like, we can make some guesses, and it seems like there's a toxic locker room. And I don't know if that's just because Pochettino's message gets old. There's a saying in American football about how, you know, coaches' messages just get tired and people don't want to listen to it anymore. But I think one you know, thing about the Spurs locker room is, like, it's just gotten real toxic and real ugly. And I think a lot of that you can really trace back to when we started twisting ourselves in knots to figure out ways to make Sissoko work, as opposed to just buying a fucking midfielder who made some level of sense in our midfield. I appreciate you have to adjust for any player. And, you know, I'll give Sissoko all the credit in the world for upping his game and trying really hard. But I think a lot of the problems with the way our locker room is right now, with all the ITK and shit about tactics is to be believed, a lot of it started with, like, okay, let's, you know, we have this title-contending team. Let's twist ourselves into knots to, like, figure out a way to make this guy work who's clearly not up to snuff with the rest of that, those players. And I don't know if that's, like, a direct line to where we are. I would certainly blame Sissoko personally for it, but I don't know. It makes a lot of narrative sense to me, like, absent any larger evidence.
Yeah, there's some of the rumors that players have complained about the roles that they've been asked to do to, you know, carry that midfield. And it's like, I don't blame Pochettino because, I mean, I blame him for not buying anybody, and I don't know how much that's his fault or Levy's fault. But, you know, twisting the team around to make your players work in something that's like a cohesive unit is the thing you need to do as a manager when you have this glaring weakness. And, you know, we credited the hell out of Pochettino for it last year for somehow making a midfield of Harry Winks and Moussa Sissoko get us to a Champions League final.
Yeah, so that's a criticism more of probably Levy than Pochettino, unless, as we've also heard, Pochettino is really, really particular about who he wants in, on his team, in which case he's part of the problem too.
Right. So, yeah, I don't blame him so much for, like, what happened, but, like, you know, and it's frustrating to see the players be such babies about not willing to put in the work in a less glamorous role, you know, to make the team function, like, you know, grow up, do your job, but, you know, it's also understandable because you don't want to play out of position all the time. Like, that's not fun.
But that's what's so strange. I know I've said this before on this podcast, but that's what's so strange to me about this. If the message just got old, and by all accounts it was starting to get old last year because we've heard Trippier in his interviews sort of allude to this toxic environment at Spurs, but, like, we didn't see it last year. Like, I mean, maybe that's what it was when we were shitting our pants in the league, but we played really well in the Champions League up until the final. I mean, yeah, we were, like, holding on for dear life against City, but that City, we played really well against Ajax. That was really late in the season. And it's just like, you know, you look at it and you're just thinking to yourself, like, what happened? Like, all of a sudden it feels like the team was just like, fuck this guy, I don't want to listen to him. Maybe, I mean, I think something clearly happened behind the scenes. Maybe it was him going right home after the final. Maybe just they were done with him but were hanging in there till the final. I don't know. It just, what strikes me about it is just how sudden the whole thing is. It's not, this isn't some, like, gentle decline. It's just like, all of a sudden, a bunch of guys fell off a cliff physically. The team seemed to stop believing him in generally. I don't know. It's probably a lot of things all happening at once, but it just, it fucking sucks.
Well, and then, you know, kind of the other player that has kind of been sort of excluded this season and was a big part of some of our successes last year was Lucas. We just haven't really seen him. He's been excluded so that Christian Eriksen can stand on the pitch for 90 minutes.
But he doesn't look like he's you know, being lazy when we put him in. I mean, he busts his ass at least. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, like, Lucas is a player who, you know, he is nominally our backup striker along with Heung-min Son, and instead we trot out Eriksen and Kane every game, and, you know, maybe we should be dropping those two and playing Lucas and Lo Celso.
I just want to see us do something different because it seems like we keep just trying the same old shit and it just doesn't make a difference. I mean, maybe now Lo Celso is working his way into the team, it'll change, but fuck, man. I don't know. It doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready to say, you know, just flip a switch, you know, put Sessegnon in at left back, put Foyth in at right back, you know, start Toby again. Like, just give us the guys we haven't seen a lot of who might have some kind of upside, because the guys we're seeing every week are not doing it.
So we played a different center back combination against Sheffield. We played Eric Dier, who proceeded to get a yellow card in, like, the first 10 minutes of the game.
and Davinson Sanchez, and I did not think that was very good. What did you guys think of that combo?
Dyer looks, I don't know if it's age. I mean, it looks like everyone else in the team, where it's like something is not right with him anymore. And at least with Dyer, we have an explanation with Dyer, at least. Like, he's not healthy, or at least he had a major injury, and I don't know if he's ever going to get back, but at least I understand it with him.
Yeah, meanwhile, Davinson Sanchez, his first season, he looked like money well spent, and with every performance since then, I just keep asking why.
I guess all he needs is to have two world-class center backs playing on either side of him.
Yeah, and now, he just doesn't, we spent a record transfer fee on this guy, and he doesn't look remotely good enough.
No, he doesn't. I mean, but then again, neither does anyone else on this fucking team right now, or virtually everyone else.
No, but it's been a while that Sanchez has been back.
You're right. You're absolutely right. This has been an ongoing problem.
So, yeah, I mean, we rolled them out against, Red Star in the Champions League and won 4-0, and I guess Pochettino was like, oh, our defense must have been good. But the reality is Red Star, I don't know if they had a shot in, 90 minutes.
On some level, I don't blame Pochettino. Like, fucking try shit. I'm just happy to see him trying shit. Like, I think you could guess how Davinson Sanchez, Eric Dyer, back line is going to go in the year of our Lord 2019. But, hell, at least he was trying something different.
I guess. I mean, Toby's been pretty good. Like, I don't think... I mean, maybe he's a problem behind the scenes, in which case I get it. But
he wasn't last year, in which case you'd think he'd be. Like...
I mean, to me, he's played like a consummate professional.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. He hasn't fucked any other teammates' wives.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Did you guys see, apparently, Ireland fans were singing to Christian Eriksen about Jan Vertonghen today, which is... That's pretty mean. I felt a little bad for Eriksen.
Yeah, I mean... if it didn't happen, then I don't think it's anything that's going to really bother him. If it did happen, then that's fucking devastating.
Oh, God. It's just... God, we're so fucked. I just don't... I think... I don't know about you guys. I was kind of hoping we would find a way to muddle through into, Europa League form. Maybe have an outside shot of getting in the Champions League. And then we could, okay, we get to the summer or maybe in the winter and we could just fucking fix this. I mean, I don't think Pochettino's going to make it. I really don't.
I mean, it's a lot easier to sack the manager than it is to sack half your squad. And so,
well, we're going to sack half the squad in the summer. I mean, that's also going to happen.
Yeah. But I mean, star players. Like, if Harry Kane is out on Pochettino, then that's the kind of thing that would have to give Levy pause and say, okay, am I going to cash in on Harry Kane, our homegrown world-class striker, or am I going to back the manager who's, given us this level of success? And that's a hard question. And sacking the manager and getting someone who Harry Kane will be happy to play for again is an easier fix.
My thing is, like I said earlier, we're one good run away from, distancing ourselves from the pack of all these shitty teams. And I mean, I guess that's the same can be said for, all the other teams in and around this same area, Arsenal, United, Wolves, whoever. But we keep talking about it, November, December, this is the time when Pochettino's Spurs teams, put together a run of, 5, 6, 7 unbeaten games. And, man, if we ever had a season where we needed it, now would sure be the time for it. And it would solidify our position in the league a lot more, and it would I don't think it would save Pochettino's job, because I don't think his job is particularly under pressure. But it wouldn't hurt things.
I mean, yeah, it would definitely, if the players are unhappy, there's nothing that turns that sentiment around than a bunch of wins in a row. It's suddenly a lot harder to be upset about things when you're winning every week. But, I mean, the reality is we've barely put together one good performance, let alone a good run of performances, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean, we haven't played a complete game in the league all year.
I mean, I think you could call the Palace game that. I understand we looked whatever after that, but you go up 4-0 in, like, 30 minutes. I understand why you coast. Like,
right. Like, that's literally the only performance all season you can point to and be like, yep, Spurs did well, got the job done.
I think at the time you could be happy with the Villa performance. Like, yeah, it was a little like, eh, but certainly in retrospect you could see a lot of problems.
I mean, you know, look, we said in the lead up to the Liverpool game, and Ben told me that I was an idiot, that I didn't care about the outcome of the Liverpool game so much as I cared about the outcome of the next few games, and that I thought those games would be much more indicative of where we were going throughout the rest of the season. And, you know, this next run of, you know, games is still, you know, all winnable fixtures. I mean, Everton and Sheffield United were winnable fixtures, but, you know, West Ham, Bournemouth, Man United, Burnley, Wolves, and then, you know, and then Chelsea, and then before the schedule flips back over again and we do Brighton, Norwich, Southampton. Like, with the exception of Chelsea, like, are any of those teams really that much better than us? You know, certainly, you know, maybe in terms of like
this year?
In terms of like how we feel about Spurs performances right now, but you know, none of those teams have been like particularly good. Like even Wolves, who have you know, who haven't lost a lot, also they just haven't won a lot either. They've got like 7 draws. You know,
but I mean, how many like how many times have we had this exact conversation this year?
I know, and I keep saying, like, I feel like a dumb broken record where I'm like, yeah, but all we need to do is just put together a few performances, and it's like, and like, yeah, at a certain point, Ben's right, we haven't put together even, you know, a solid 90 minutes, or, and you know, time is running out for us to do that, and like, to expect it to just magically happen all of a sudden is probably a really stupid thing, but like, I mean, based on all the evidence that we've seen from Pochettino's time at Spurs, like, we've gone through dumb patches. We've gone through bad stretches, and I don't know, man. I mean,
this is the worst. This is our worst start to a season since 2.8 games. Like, we've never done this before.
Yeah, and it also, like, if you stretch it back through the calendar year, like, this is a horrible run. I don't know. I you know, it's weird because Pochettino is demonstrably the best coach that Spurs have had
in
a very long time. I was going to say, you know, in my fandom, which is definitely true, but like
Venables, probably, is he the best since Venables?
I mean,
he's the best since Phil Nick.
You're probably right.
So, I mean, To give up on him or to think that he can't turn this around or what seems short-sighted, but I don't know. I
agree with you, bro. I'm where you are. Like, I feel like Spurs should do everything possible just to muddle through this year and get to the winter or summer where they can fix it. But if we don't, like, I usually think that he's only got one game to save his job thing is kind of stupid, but like, honestly, I get it. If we go out, think about everything we were saying about West Ham earlier. If we go out against West Ham and, like, you know, drop a turd like we saw against, like, Sheffield Wednesday or Sheffield United or Brighton or any of these teams that we've fucking sucked against this year, it's like, it becomes less and less defensible. Because I'm telling you guys, like, if we play like that over the course of the Christmas break or Christmas fixture list, fuck me, it's going to be real ugly. It's going to get real ugly real fast. And I mean, I think he's either going to get fired before or during then, or he's going to make it through there and get through the season. But, you know, the reporting, like, from Matt Law, so take it for what it's worth, is that, you know, Levy's doing his level best. He doesn't want to fire Pochettino. Now, some of the reporting is he doesn't want to pay the money, which I believe is true. And some of the reporting is after everything Pochettino's accomplished with Spurs, he doesn't want to, you know, he wants to give him as much time as possible to fix this. And, I mean, maybe there's a world in which Pochettino fixes this and is, like, forever loyal to Tottenham as a result. because we stuck with him during this really ugly period. But, man, I don't know. I feel like we've been here too many times this year. We have – we're coming out of the break. We know games are important. It's a team to really make a statement against, and we still somehow just look like ass. It's not even like an undeserved result. Like, oh, we lost. That was so, we were so hard done by. We've just looked terrible at every crossroads this year. And I just don't think it's going to change this weekend. Like, I don't know what's wrong, but it's wrong, and I don't think it's getting fixed.
I just want to make clear for the record so that, you know, I maintain consistency, is that I'm very firmly in the camp that we should fire Pochettino and fire him now. I think that's a dumb idea, and I don't think that the club will do it. But my own personal opinion is that, like, this is, we're at the end of the road. Like, we just, like, let's just do it, be done with it, interim manager, hire Max Allegri, hire, I don't care, whatever. Just anything but Pochettino at this point, just because this isn't working. Like I said, I think it's probably a dumb idea, and it probably doesn't make business sense, and it's probably not what the club will do. But I just want, you know, so that the podcast reflects some level of consistency and professionalism, I maintain that I am poach out.
Ben, you're finally getting what you've always dreamed of. How's it feel?
I mean, I'm not poach out. I like Pochettino. He's a very good manager.
It's good that you didn't start a meme in the writer's room about, you know, how good you actually think he is.
Look, Pochettino may be a fraud, but he's the best fraud we've ever had. If Pochettino gets fired, I can't disagree with that happening. You know, it's not undeserved based on where we are this season. But I just don't know that we get better in the long term. We might get better in the short term. Like, that's probably inevitable. Like, Tim Sherwood made us better in the short term. You know, that doesn't mean that's a good decision to hire somebody. And Pochettino is not Andre Villas-Boas. Like, he is a guy who has taken us very, very far.
He's playing like him this year. So
yeah, well, hey, we didn't lose 5-1 to Liverpool.
I guess that's the hard thing, I guess. And I don't know how you evaluate this. If you're inside Spurs, if you're Daniel Levy, how do you evaluate, like, this is a problem with this group of players, and we can fix it over the offseason, and Pochettino is too good a manager to let go, and it's worth sticking with him to sort of, like, rebuild this team? And how much of it's like, oh, this problem is entirely of Pochettino's creation. He's a fucking weirdo who, like, didn't travel home with the team and had a bunch of other issues after the Champions League final and had a bunch of other issues. And it's like, we need to bite the bullet and get him out of here. And I just don't – I don't think we have any way of evaluating that. And if you say, I think Pochettino is a fucking problem, he created this, and – you know, it's just, we need to bite the bullet and get rid of him, I would believe it. Like, I would, if that's your opinion, I respect that. And if you think it's worth sticking with him, you know, I can respect that until evidence shows otherwise. So
I guess I would say, unless we're, like, actually in a relegation fight, I am still happy to, you know, wash my hands of this season and give Pochettino the summer to do better. I think he has done enough that he has earned it. He is going to be a hard manager to replace. You know, and I have a lot of gratitude towards what he's done for us. And
me too. It's just, know, how much of this is his fault, and I can't intelligently comment on that.
It might be entirely his fault, but, like, even if it is his fault, if he can fix it in the summer, then that's fine. Great. We'll be good again.
Man, you know, I hope so.
I don't know. I think the presumption that he can fix it in the summer is
a presumption. I'm not, let me be clear. I'm not, like, convinced that that is what will happen if we give him the summer. I'm right. Just willing to give him that opportunity.
No, I understand. I just, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I don't think that my belief that we should fire him is smart from a football or a business perspective. I just think, you know, we're at the point where, personality-wise, we're at the end of the road with this. And I
think you have to do a lot more work to make it better with the squad than if you just replace the manager.
I'm kind of with you, Brian, in that, like, it feels like there's a lot of problems with this team, and it doesn't feel like there's a lot of solutions on the current roster. Yes, Lo Celso could get better. Yes, Ndombele is going to get more suited to the team and hopefully more fit. Yes, Dele Alli is going to get more fit. But you look at, like, Eriksen's gone, and until then, it looks like he doesn't give a shit. Vertonghen and Alderweireld are gone, and it looks like at least one of them doesn't give a shit. You know, all of our fullbacks are a fucking problem. There's a lot of work to do on this roster, and
I mean, that's kind of my point, though, right? Like, even bringing in somebody new is not going to make Ben Davis a fullback, and it's not going to make Moussa Sissoko a midfielder, and it's not going to make Harry Winks a footballer. Like,
yeah, but I mean, like, maybe you bring in somebody who has different ideas about how to utilize the personnel that they have available to them. You know, maybe we bring in somebody who actually will play fourth at fullback, who will actually, you know, commit to not using Moussa Sissoko regularly in the midfield. Who I just think, like, last year where we praised Pochettino so much for being able to build to find creative solutions to squad building issues that resulted from not signing players, this year he deserves the same criticism for failing to build any sort of coherent squad out of the players that he has available to him, you know, regardless of whether, you know, players are checked out or not. Like, he's in training every day. He sees Eriksen, he sees Vertonghen, he sees Alderweireld, he sees, you know, Davis and Aurier, and so presumably he should be able to look at these training performances, look at the match performances, and put together something coherent. And I don't think either of you guys would disagree that outside of a couple of performances against Red Star, we haven't put together anything that's coherent on the pitch this year in any sort of formation.
No, I do agree.
I agree with. I think anything. I see a lot of Spurs fans, they talk about, like, oh, Sung came on in this game and we started to look better. I think it's grasping at straws. I think you're absolutely right. It's
right.
But it's a problem.
At the same time, it's like, if, you know, the dressing room is in revolt and certain players aren't playing or don't want to play and don't want to be here, and players are complaining about tactical shakeups that are requiring, you know, different positions from them, and, you know, all the things we talked about, it ties Pochettino's hands. It makes it very hard to put out a coherent side. And, you know, maybe those players will buy in with a new manager asking them to do the exact same things just because it's someone who you're not tired of listening to. But
that's what I don't get.
I don't know. I mean, it's
he's asking them to do the thing. There's certainly probably some things he's fucking up, or at least, like, we don't like the diamond, but a lot of the reason the diamond doesn't work is because no one wants to fucking run for it. But, like, Pochettino seems to be asking them to do the kinds of things he's always asked them to do. All this stuff about, oh, they don't like the formation, they don't want to work. Like, I don't know, that doesn't seem like a new thing. And given that we were just in a fucking Champions League final, you think that would validate this shit as opposed to just make everyone hate his guts. But, I don't know, I don't have to work with him every day.
You know, so I guess the other thing that scares me is we all acknowledge it. Massive rebuild is going to have to happen in the summer. You know, I know Pochettino's track record in the transfer window is not super encouraging, but, you know, it is a big ask to task whoever this new manager might be. And, you know, it might be a Carlo Ancelotti. It might not be a guy we're really excited about. It might be an Eddie Howe, you know, who was given these reins.
I don't think that'll happen, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So,
my point is, like, it could be worse. And in a summer as crucial as this upcoming summer might be, where we have to get rid of, you know, a lot of guys that we already know we're losing for free and a lot of dead weight, but also maybe have to manage the futures of Dele Alli and Harry Kane and guys we don't want to lose, you know, reinvesting those funds into a team, if we have the wrong guy at the helm when that happens, I mean, that could be really, really, really problematic for, like, our long-term future.
Well, it's, you know, we had great recruitment last year, and Pochettino was apparently involved in that. And, I mean, obviously it hasn't worked out the way we wanted to, and I don't really put a ton of blame for the season on the new guys. But, man, I don't know.
Well,
like,
I mean, the main question that we don't really know the answer to, and, you know, I don't think we ever will know the answer to, is just how much involvement the manager has in the signings. I mean, Pochettino in the preseason was, you know, had his little rant about how they should change his title back to head coach because he has no input and no one listens to him and da-da-da-da-da. And so, well, if that's the case, does it really matter if it's Pochettino or if it's somebody else in charge? Because Daniel Levy's just going to sign the guys that he's going to sign. You know, maybe if we have a manager that's not Pochettino, we're not working off of a list that's only like five players long. Maybe we're working off, you know. I don't know.
That manager could demand like a whole new recruitment system with analytics and scouting that could, you know, turn us into,
I don't think,
like,
that's going to cover the manager, like, Ben.
No, but like a manager could say, you know, we've had managers say, I want to work with the director of football.
Yes.
We've had managers say, I want total control. And like, Levy has been inclined to cave to those demands under a new managerial regime because, you know, he's like, okay, Harry Redknapp, if you don't want to work with Damian Connolly or a director of football, you know, we're willing to give you what you need to make this situation work. And when AVB asked for a director of football, we did that for him. And with Pochettino, you know, we had Paul Mitchell with Pochettino until Pochettino said he didn't want that anymore. Like, we have tooled our transfer strategy around our manager quite frequently. So, yeah, you're right, Brian. It's entirely possible we get a new manager who is a lot more forward-thinking about this sort of thing, and it helps in that respect, you know.
I mean,
but it's a gamble either way.
It's possible that it goes the other way.
Right, right. So, I mean, it's like, how much do we want the devil you know, and how much are we willing to risk here?
Well, that's always the thing. I didn't know where the fuck this team was going when we hired Pochettino, and that has worked out better than anybody could have guessed. So, you know, there's a world in which Tottenham make a very good managerial hire, and there's a world in which we hire another AVB. It's, I mean, this is also the team that put Tim Sherwood in charge.
Yeah, it's.
So let's talk about this in two phases. You're looking at this rebuild. Let's talk about the rebuild a little bit first. Like, if you're Spurs, keeping in mind there, like, need to be realistic priorities, assuming for the sake of argument that we don't lose Son or Kane in the offseason, which I don't think is a given. What are your priorities for Tottenham's rebuild? Is it just rebuild the back line and hope that Ndombele and Lo Celso are solving all your midfield problems next year?
Yeah, I mean,
I still want a defensive midfielder.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, so it's rebuilding the defense is like your number one priority if you're the new manager.
Yeah. You need two center backs. You need like four fullbacks. You need a defensive midfielder.
Well, Davies ain't going anywhere, unfortunately. But if they just get a good starting left back, I'll be happy.
I mean, you need...
It could be. You know, like, it's possible that we
need a backup striker.
No, we have Troy Parrott.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really kidding. You're looking at, like, eight players that you probably need. Like, I mean, without... So that's like a Bale summer, but without like the income from a Gareth Bale sale.
And it might be when you spent $25 million to get rid of, or £1 million to get rid of Pochettino. So,
yeah,
and we're also going to have to pay $40 million for Lo Celso.
Right, which we can't do in January apparently, but still, right. We got a lot of buys.
Okay, let's talk about this. We've talked about our opinions about whether or not it should happen. Let's assume for the sake of argument that at some point in the next 2 months, we fire Pochettino. I guess that leads into two distinct questions for us to consider. Who are we going to hire, and are we going to go after a caretaker and hire someone more permanent in the summer, or are we going to just try and get the best guy available and see how it goes?
Oh, we will have Ryan Mason caretaker manager. It'll be great.
Do you really think that'll happen? Because,
I mean, despite my well-documented dislike of Ryan Mason, the football player, I would very much be here for Ryan Mason.
Oh my God! Don't do
that. Manager.
Don't say that.
I mean, can it be worse than Tim Sherwood?
Do you want to find out? Because I don't.
I mean, yeah, I kind of do. Oh. I really kind of do. Yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, absent someone like Allegri, who is available now, being interested in the job right away, I don't think you can avoid going the caretaker manager route.
And if that's the case, then just stick with Pochettino till the end of the season and then get the guy you want for the summer. I mean, honestly, like, why are we fucking around with a caretaker manager?
I mean, well, if you're in a position where you're not really, like, in danger of relegation, but you want to, like, give the guys a kick up the backside and see who is actually committed to the team and the squad, then maybe sacking Pochettino makes sense so you can just get a feel for that. But, I mean, yeah, I think if you sack him, you have to have sounded out someone like Allegri or someone else who is available and has been, you know, probably been let go from a big job now and know that they're willing to take it before you take the steps to sack Pochettino.
Or you've lined someone up like Nagelsmann in the summer. Like, you've lined up a big summer hire, and it's just, you know, for whatever reason, Pochettino or whoever just doesn't want to, you know, play out the string knowing he's going to be gone.
And I still have no idea really where Tottenham sits in terms of drawing power for coaches, because we're kind of in a different position than where we were the last time we were hiring coaches.
So let's talk about that. Who do you think – I mean, who do you guys think we're going to get if – let's say one way or another we're hiring a new manager in the summer.
I mean, you know, again, if we hire a manager in the middle of the season and it's not Massimo Allegri, then I'm firmly against hiring anybody, because there's nobody else currently unemployed who is a guy you want taking charge of this team for the next several years.
Do you want Carlo in there if that all falls apart?
No, I mean, like, if Carlo loses his job at Napoli and we need a caretaker manager, I'd be happy with Carlo to see us through the season. You know, he's...
How about bringing Rafa Benitez back from China?
Right, exactly. Like, don't do that. Just don't do that. You know, I mean, there are guys around Europe, like, you know, like Ten Hag at Ajax, or some of the German guys, like Nagelsmann. You know, but I don't know who we can get or who is willing to leave their job. You know, Nagelsmann has a good setup at Leipzig, and, you know, could probably go to Bayern Munich. You know, they're not exactly
well, I think Ten Hag is probably lined up for the Bayern Munich job or Barcelona. If we stick with him to the end of the season, you know, Tuchel is maybe out at PSG, but is he tends to feud with his backroom and front office staff. So is he maybe that good of a decision for Spurs? He's probably out of our price range. You know, Nagelsmann sounds like a good option, but like Ben said, he's got a good setup at Red Bull. And is he willing to, or not Red Bull, Salzburg. Not Salzburg, fuck. Leipzig. I was going to get there eventually. Is he willing to leave there?
I think Spurs are a Premier League team that was just in the Champions League final, and with a brand new stadium that is very attractive. On the other hand, I don't know, like, you get to coach, you know, Lo Celso, Ndombele, Hugo Lloris, and the shambling corpse of Harry Kane, I guess. Like, I agree with you, Brian. I don't know what Tottenham's drawing power is in terms of managers. I don't think we're going to hire a guy like Mourinho, because, A, I don't think Levy wants to get involved in another fiasco like that, and B, I don't think Levy wants a manager like that who's going to demand a certain level of transfer buy, which is just, I don't think, sustainable for Tottenham, even with our maybe, you know, new stadium revenue.
And there's no real managers in the Premier League that you look at and you can easily see them taking a step up to, like, a Spurs level. Like, I mean... You know, Eddie Howe is the name that gets thrown around every time there's a big job that's open. I don't think he's that good.
I don't think Spurs think he's that good either.
I mean, Nuno has done all right at Wolves, but, I mean, he basically can do whatever he wants there. So does he would, you know, and is his style of play something that Spurs are interested in?
Well, does he strike you like just from a fan's perspective? Let's say Pochettino gets hit by a bus tomorrow. Is that the kind of manager you want at Spurs?
I don't know. I think Nuno's fine. I think Wolves have been at least interesting the last few years.
They're tedious and defensive and boring. I mean, some of that is like circumstantial, but
yeah. So I mean, no, he's not like he wouldn't be my first choice. I would much rather we be sounding out guys like Allegri or or Ten Hag or those guys. But I don't know. I mean, surely there's some other coaches somewhere, like in Italy and Spain, that are doing interesting attacking things. Like, if you'd asked me, the guy that's at Atalanta, would his style of play translate well to Spurs? Like, I don't know. But Atalanta are at least a halfway interesting team. I don't know who's interesting in Spain anymore. Because Batiste are bad this year.
I mean, like, there are some managers, but there's just given where Spurs are, it's like it's hard to see us taking a risk on some of these guys because a lot of them have huge flaws.
I mean, really, right. And honestly, the name that is probably going to be linked most seriously with Spurs if we sack Pochettino after the season will be Gareth Southgate. And
I think you're right. I think that would be a huge mistake.
Yeah, I think it would be too.
He might be able to fix a broken locker room, but.
But I mean, say he goes to Euro and the England team does all right, like another quarterfinal, semifinal appearance, and he's like, I don't know if I want to stick around for, the World Cup cycle.
We better not be hiring a manager after the Euros. Like, that sets us back so far in our planning and preparation. Like, we just can't wait for that.
Yeah, well, but I mean,
the worst thing too is I can imagine
not a good manager. So
I can imagine Harry Kane in his terminal decline throwing his weight around and getting us to hire him. So, I could actually envision that. And I don't think he's good enough that you want to wait for him. Right. Yeah, it's like one thing if you're going to wait for Conte. Like, I don't think Southgate's good enough to wait for.
I mean, we're not going to do something interesting like hire like Jesse Marsh out of like Salzburg. We're not going to do anybody that far off the radar. So really you're looking at like big name managers who haven't had quite the success that they hoped at bigger clubs or like Eddie Howe,
or rising stars. I think a guy like Nagelsmann is not an unrealistic shout for Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's a Champions League manager in the Bundesliga. Like that's the kind of guy I'm talking about. Like,
all right.
Again, if he doesn't go to a bigger club, which he probably should, Like, Allegri's the guy sitting there unemployed, and unless he's waiting for a particular job that we don't know about that has been kept close to the vest between agents, he's the obvious target. And, a lot of clubs, like, Arsenal's going to need a manager soon, Man U's going to need a manager soon, We're going to have a lot of competition. Like, as you've talked about earlier, like, world football is all kind of, like, in a weird slump right now where a lot of teams are really underperforming who shouldn't be. So it's going to make hiring a manager hard, harder than it might've been.
And I wonder if that plays into their thinking. Like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, Pochettino deserves another season.
Right.
Well, I mean, and you have to think about, look what other teams might be looking for managers this summer. I mean, you've got Arsenal, Manchester United, us, like, as much as recent years we've been better than...
There's a world in which City's looking for a new manager just because Pep's had enough.
Yeah. And honestly, if the City job is open this summer, then I think this summer will be absolutely crazy in terms of managerial carousel. But yeah, who knows?
Yeah, so stick with Pochettino.
I would love to think he can
move on Allegri.
I would love to think Pochettino could turn it around, but I feel like we've had so many opportunities to, like, I'm not even looking for Spurs to, like, think back to the Watford game. I wasn't looking for Spurs to come out of that international break and just all of a sudden look, like vintage Pochettino. I was just looking for, like, oh, this makes sense. Oh, that looks better. And it was just like, we keep seeing more of the same shit. And I don't know, everything feels inevitable until it is, until it isn't, but God, you just look at the team right now and fuck me, it just doesn't look positive at all.
No, doesn't.
And it's hard to see the positive. Like, you know, it's hard to convince yourself it's going to get better. Ugh. Sorry, guys. I'm being a real downer tonight.
I mean, what was this whole podcast, honestly?
A look forward in anger. That's what it is.
I think we've already used that title. So we can't.
Well, I think we were looking in the other direction that time, but.
Oh,
anyway. Ben, you got any final thoughts?
Nope. Shit's bad. Guys better figure shit out soon.
You know what? That's if they were going to play this way this year, they could have had the decency to win the Champions League final, so I would at least be slightly more chill about all this.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Like, at a minimum, we would have been able to be like, yeah, well, at least we won the Champions League.
Like, you know, I mean, if we won the Champions League, we probably wouldn't be in this situation. The players probably would be a lot more willing to put up with whatever punch.
I don't know. They seem like a bunch of assholes. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, that's also true.
We could always just win the Champions League this year. So,
I mean, I guess all players all have FIFA. Brian, do you have any final thoughts other than that?
I think we've covered it all.
Well, where can people find you online, Brian?
You can find me on Twitter at Brian_Ashlock. That is Brian with a Y.
Ben, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at ComradeUSpurs.
You can find me on Twitter just being an endless font of positivity at Skipjack0079. For Ben, for Brian, and of course for Brett Rainbow, come on, you Spurs, please. Like, can you please come on and stop playing like this?
Just beat West Ham. Like, God, yeah. I really don't want West Ham to be like the fucking final nail in Pochettino's coffin. Like, that would be just...
Yeah, our season's been reduced to, I just don't want to give West Ham the satisfaction. That's all I want out of this season is don't give them the satisfaction. So, yes, come on, you Spurs, don't lose to West Ham.